Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. Everybody, welcome. This is Keep It Simple, a Simple Church podcast. We're glad you can join us today. And I'm Gavin Durson, along with...
Hey, I'm Tom LeCompte. And hey, Gavin, do you realize that this is the anniversary of our podcast beginning? We started this podcast 4 years ago. Do you remember? When we did that?
It's been a while ago.
We just barely knew each other.
Yep, it's been four long, torturous years.
It's been hell.
Well, hey, we're excited you guys are here with us today, and we're going to have an important topic that I'm really excited to talk about, and some things that came out of our conference. For those of you who don't know, we have a conference every year. We just had our seventh conference, it went really well, and want to share some things with you guys about that.
Gavin, tell me about your conference.
Well, before we do, I want to get into a couple things. We want to remind folks. Tommy and me, you were just talking about this. If you listen to this podcast, want to give encouragement to check it out on iTunes and rate us and click the stars. Give us a comment. That helps spread the word, pass it around, and that'd be really great. And you can all access all of our episodes, all 4 years of them, at keepitsimplepodcast.com. So don't forget that if you're new. You want to go back and relive some of the great memories. We've talked about a lot of things, and probably a lot of things.
Some of them are almost important. So, yeah.
So check that out. And again, we've been getting some comments from a few of you all. Appreciate you all when you all send in comments. So thanks a lot. And if you have any comments, questions, thoughts, something you'd like to hear us discuss, always shoot us a line. You can get a hold of us at keepitsimplepodcast.com. Find us on Facebook, Gavin Durson, Tom
LeCompte. We're on Stitcher.
SimpleChurchAlliance.com, that's our website. You can visit us there. Any of those means, methods, get a hold of us, and we would love to discuss whatever it is that's on your mind. So, yeah, let's jump right into it today, and I'm really excited to give you guys a little bit of an update on our conference. Like I said, this is our seventh year, and we had a really good time. Lee Wood from Tampa, who we'll have to get him on this show, and do a little interview with him soon. But he and his wife, Stacy, came up, and it was just a wonderful time. And one of the things that came out in this conference, and it was one of the reasons, I wanted Lee to come, was I knew, knowing a little bit about Lee's a part of One Body, One Body Global, and they're kind of based in Tampa, and he's just got really a fascinating story. If you haven't listened to, there's another podcast out there that I highly encourage you guys to check out. It's called More Disciples. More Disciples. That's the podcast. And there's a great interview with Lee on there. It's episode number 23. I'm sorry, number 24. It's episode number 24, WWDJD, and I have no idea why it's entitled that, but we've linked it here before. But if you haven't ever checked that podcast out, it's an amazing story of Lee, and he shares kind of what God's done in his life, and it catches folks up on his testimony, which he did share a little bit at our conference. But one of the things that Lee I think God has done, and this is a lot to do with some of the coaching and encouragement he's received from Curtis Sargent, who we've talked about on this podcast before, and who is behind the Zume project, which we've also talked about. And in fact, actually, as a sidebar, we have a house church that's doing the Zume project and getting a lot of good feedback from that. It's sort of a simple church that's had folks that have been doing house church for a long time, and they've sort of become stuck in some ways, and he's been very encouraging to hear how God's using that tool to help shake things up a little bit. But Curtis Lee has been a part of Curtis's training, and one of the concepts that's in the Zume project, and something that Curtis is really big on, is this idea of being in two churches at the same time. And that sounds kind of like a, I don't know, it's an easy word picture, I think, that that can be a very helpful tool. And Lee did a really good job of talking about that. Now, I will say that when we start, you know, and you and I have talked about this, Tom, like sometimes when we start talking about concepts or training techniques or tools or these sorts of things, it's the conversation can kind of become, I don't know, robotic, or it makes,
right.
we've talked about this on this podcast before, and I think it's a real turnoff to some folks, maybe even on this podcast, because a lot of folks that are on this podcast are people that are leaving. Perhaps you've left the traditional church and you're kind of tired of sort of the systems and the programs and things that the traditional church has been throwing at you for years. And so whenever we start talking about training and these sorts of things, and it can start to sound, it can turn people off a little bit. And we got into some of that a little bit at the conference, because anytime you start talking about concepts and principles and these sorts of things, there's a school of thought out there that, you know, that kind of has disgust in some of those things, and
I've been there too.
Yeah. But this concept of being in two churches at the same time, it's a really important concept to grasp, and I think that honestly, it's really the only option. And I'll kind of walk through this, what we mean about being in two churches at the same time. If you think about simple church ministry, and if you think wherever you're at right now, okay, and this is something I highly encourage everybody to kind of really take an inventory on. It's something I've been talking with in our house church about. But if you're starting, especially beginning with the end in mind. Okay, so maybe you've already got a house church or a group right now that you're a part of. But where does that group go? Where is that group going? What is the end? What does the end of that group look like? And I think that's an important thing for anybody to think through, because if we are a house church, we believe that God is going to use us to grow the kingdom, and that there are going to be people added to the kingdom because of our house church existence and because of the community that we have and the encouragement that we have. This is, I think, this should be a natural outflow. And if we believe that's going to happen, then how is that going to happen? Okay. And what is that going to look like? Do you have a clear picture of that? And does everyone in your house church have a clear picture of that? And I think a lot of times we don't. I think a lot of times we start a house church and we it's exciting. We maybe see a new person come to Christ and they grow a group and we get excited. And then things sort of kind of can stagnate out a little bit. And in our minds, where is this going? Where is this group going? What does it look like for this group to grow? Those are important things, I think, for every person in the house church to have sort of a picture of. And what does that look like? Because if we don't, here's what I think we do. We think, we go back, and we've talked about this on this show over the last 4 years. We immediately go into bring people to my church mindset. We meet someone out this week. Oh, this person is good soil. We share our faith with them. They seem intrigued and they think, oh, where do you go to church? Oh, well, I'm a part of a house church. And we immediately get so excited. Oh, maybe they would come to our house church. And we invite them to come to our house church. And that is sort of the default mode, I think, by virtue of being an American and living in our country and being influenced, even if you haven't been super a part of the traditional church, we have that default mode of we invite people to our house church. That's kind of how we all come into it. If we don't talk about it, if we don't think of another way, I think this is what the default mode of every person probably in your house church, in our house churches, in simple churches, they think. So being in two churches at the same time is sort of just a simple little word picture that's intended to combat that. And so if you think about it, if we grow and God does what we believe he does when the body of Christ is making disciples and doing what it does naturally, and we invite people to our house church, then it could literally be 1 week that our house church ceases to exist as it has been. So we have 10 people in our house church. God blesses us this week, and next week we have 20 people in our house church. And now our house church community is completely different than it was before. And that could be a good thing, that could be a bad thing. But it certainly is. It could be a challenge because now you have a group that where people can't really interact with one another as much as they used to be able to. Now maybe there are some people in that group with certain needs, and you enjoy that group. You enjoy that house church group. That's why you've been coming to it. That's why you've been getting encouraged. It's been a part of how God is discipling you. And now that group no longer ceases to exist as it has. Mm-hmm. And I think deep down, there's even an aversion sometimes to sharing our faith, to being open to reaching out to our neighbors, to perhaps opening ourselves up to even inviting people to our group. Mm-hmm. Because we think, man, I really like our house church. And if this person or this family started coming, it would totally change the dynamic of what we love. And so I think as a result, because we don't maybe think of another option, and we think our only option is we invite people to our house church, I think that for some folks, it actually serves as a bottleneck for reproduction of the kingdom, because we don't even maybe know it. We don't consciously say this out loud. We don't think of it, but we meet a family, and they seem like the type of family that would enjoy or could benefit from being a part of a house church, but we're not really sure if our group would welcome them or they would fit or if it would how it would change the dynamic of our simple church if they did start coming and maybe they brought all their friends. And so we may be subconsciously averse to even welcoming them as we should even or could because, again, we think that the way our house church grows, the way we reproduce and the way we it's the default of inviting them to come to our meeting. Mm-hmm. And so at this conference, what Lee talked about and is this concept of being in two churches at the same time. And it's something that they, from the beginning in Tampa, I think really it was a part of their DNA from day one. And it's something that God, because of that, God has really used their outward thinking, their go mentality to really multiply house churches there in a pretty awesome way, in a way that God has really, it's all God, obviously, but I think some of these constructs that we get in our mind actually serves as to prevent perhaps sometimes us from thinking and believing and seeing how God could do even more than we can imagine sometimes in our own mind. So the simple idea is that in order for multiplication happens, that if a house church has three family units in it, let's say, that and let's say that you all were a part of a house church together, you love this fellowship, it's been instrumental in you growing, you love, enjoy it, that rather than thinking always of inviting people to come to your house church and join your house church, which is the default mode, and also rather than thinking about breaking up that house church group to split it up and now each of you all three never meet together again and go off and start three new house churches, or if there's four groups, which is where sometimes divide it in half. Again, these are all, those are, that's another thing I think that we're subconsciously, you know, resistant to, because if we enjoy our fellowship, we don't really get excited about not meeting together anymore. So we're, therefore, if we think the other option is to split the group, which is usually the second default mode in the mind of folks as well, we're going to grow this group to 20 and then we'll split it into two groups of 10. Well, man, that's a default. That doesn't sound very exciting if you really enjoy meeting with those people and they've been instrumental in your faith. So again, we're averse to that position. Being in two churches at the same time is simply saying we're going to stay in this group, but we're also all going to be a part of another church at that same time.
So one that you're planting or developing or trying to get going.
That's right. You have your kind of main house church that is your main growing community. Now again, we're talking about you can make a rule. If you make a rule about this, you totally miss the point, right? Because there's fluidity, God does things. But just in general, the idea that what simple church life would look like is that we're always a part of two churches at the same time. And what that involvement and what level of involvement we can discuss. But the idea is that if you are always a part of your main fellowship and every person in that fellowship is also simultaneously a part of another fellowship, and that is what we model for folks, then there is a chain of multiplication that happens, and it doesn't necessitate breaking up the original group or inviting people to that group that would severely change the dynamic of what God is doing in that original group. Now, there's always, you know, again, this isn't a rule. This isn't like a rule to follow and, and to be legalistic about, and there's fluidity about this, right? But this idea of being in, that if every person in that community also thinks, man, like, my where this goes is that I'm going to be a part of another house church at some level, and that's how we will grow. That is how multiplication will happen. And if every person in a house church has a clear idea of what that can look like, then you've sort of broken through these constructs that we kind of get hardwired into us from the culture, the world, American Christianity, this come mindset that I think does bottleneck reproduction of the kingdom and of disciples and of churches. And so does that make sense?
It does. I have a couple of thoughts on it, just questions mostly. But initial pushback would be like, man, that sounds like twice the effort, twice the time. Unless I'm really, really, really committed to multiplication, I don't know if I want to do that. So that would be one, I can imagine some pushback. The other is the second church, the away from your so-called core group, the one that you really like. The second church, would that, is he advocating that that's always the same second group of people, or would that be a fluid thing where you would be changing that group, you would be part of a, you know, that group for a while and move on to another group, like in a church planning kind of apostolic way? Is that what he's saying?
Yes, exactly. And that is what he's talking about. So, you know, you kind of have your house church that's always sort of your main community of growth. Right. And then there's this other community that is either being formed, getting formed, or already in existence that you're not a permanent part of that. You wouldn't think of yourself as this permanent member of.
And Lee didn't really
get into the specifics of this, but I you know, my application of it is that might look very different. Okay, you use this word two churches at the same time, but what that exactly means could look different from situation. Like, for example, you might be in one house church, but maybe you have a friend that lives in another state, and you're currently, you know, Skyping with them and their spouse weekly to disciple them and meet with them and encourage them, and you're helping them to start to think about looking for persons of peace in this other state, and you're at the very infant stages of perhaps a new church being formed. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but that in my mind would be the beginning of your, you are a part of this new forming community. Maybe it'll form into something like just like your house church in another state. Maybe it won't, but you're pursuing that. When you sit down with the folks in your simple church, you're able to say, well, here's this other church that I'm a part of. Maybe you don't use that word, but you're able to kind of say, well, you know, I'm really excited about what's happening in such and such state with my friends, Tom and John and Bonnie, and I'm going to help them. They're praying about, you know, prayer walking their neighborhood, and they've got a family they think that might start joining them for breakfast, and they're thinking this could become a simple church. And I'm meeting with them every week on Skype until that happens, and I'm excited that if they start having their house church, I might even fly out there and be with them, you know, or whatever.
Okay.
You know, so but it might mean, well, it might, and it might literally mean that, wow, like, I've got this group of 10 friends who all want to start a simple church in my town. So on Wednesday nights, our family is going to start going over there and having house church with them to model it for them, to show them what this looks like, to be an example to them. And we're going to do that for as long as the Lord leads. Maybe that would be a couple months. Maybe that would be a year. Maybe even, you know, again, because there's no rule, maybe that would become your main simple church. And maybe the Lord would lead you, cause you, you know, maybe he would move you out of the group you're in. And, you know, who knows? Who knows what the...
Like you said, it's fluid.
It's fluid. It's and flexible. And if the Lord's leading in it, there's no... You know, you can't... But the simple... I do like the idea of just that simple thought that if someone were to say... And, you know, where is this going? What does this look like? How do we grow? It's a simple word picture that I think everyone can grasp, and it's simply being in two churches at the same time. Now, you know, it helps clarify that. Now, of course, again, we in Simple Church don't get thrown off by that. I've actually been in an ongoing discussion with another friend of mine. You know, it does bring up the question, well, what do we consider a church? You know, and of course, that would be something that I think everybody hopefully has a kind of a grasp on. What is it? What actually constitutes a church? And being a part of two churches at the same time might mean that you're a part of a group that's growing to become that church, that biblical New Testament church. It might not mean that it's a church right now at this moment.
Right.
And I think that that's perfectly, you know, fine and good.
I like this idea because what it does is it keeps the it preserves the pastoral aspect where you have a group of people that you are growing with. You are ministering to one another through the one another's. You're loving on one another. You're just spending time. And you know each other, and you can pray for one another. That's your core group. But at the same time, it's encouraging you to look outward, because you could get wrapped up in that pastoral mode. Like, I just want to be with these people. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. We grow together. We experience life together. And that's all I want. This is great. It it causes you to think outside that small group in a missional way, in a apostolic way, where, hey, I'm going to be intentional about starting a new group, not so much starting or just coming alongside.
Yep.
And helping that group if they need encouragement.
Yep.
I can see that. This is good.
Yeah,
because you have to think both ways. You have to look inward, you know, for your own spiritual health, and you have to look outward for the kingdom.
Well, and when you start talking about it, I remember making a comment. There was some folks that I think kind of wrestle with when you start talking about if this stuff gets presented like, here's a rule we're going to make, be in two churches at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some pushback there. Just in our spirit, which might be of God, maybe it's of our flesh, I don't know. But, you know, my thing to saying is this, is that, like, what's the other option? Because, you know, if you enjoy Simple Church and you believe that this is about Jesus and Jesus is about his business of seeking and saving the lost and growing the kingdom and expanding the kingdom, then what is the other option? You can, like I said, I don't think there is another option. I mean, you can word it differently maybe or talk about it in different ways. And I think we have actually talked about this same concept in different ways. I like the word picture, two churches at the same time, because I think it's instructive and it sort of brings clarity in a person's mind of a picture of what it is maybe that growth and how this works and gets fleshed out and maybe would get fleshed out in their own life. But if you're not thinking that, what is the other option? And I don't think there really is one. The other option is we invite people to come to our group, okay?
Right.
And then what does that mean? Again, believing that God is going to do in us what he wants to do, which is to use us to share his love with others. Well, where does that lead? It leads to a room of 100 people, 50 people over a lifetime.
Right. Unless
you purposely split.
And that's painful.
And what does that lead to? And if you say, well, hey, we're going to grow this group to 50 and then or 20 and then split it down the middle, 10 and 10, I think that option leads to non-growth, because most of the time, people do not want to do that. And it takes a very strong-willed group of people to say, we're going to split this group. And again, that would be better than nothing, I think. But I think there's an aversion to that hardwired in us, because we'll be averse to growing our group if we like our group. It's just human nature. Like,
right.
we're going to... So this is a way, when you think about being in two... This is really the only way, I think, that you, in people's hearts and minds, can help them see both. That we love our group. We're going to commit to one another, maybe for our whole life. But we're also going to be a part of starting other groups. And we've talked about it on the show. I remember when Neil Cole came here, this is exactly, he didn't say that term, two churches at the same time, but this is what he encourages, because he shared how he had pretty much been in the same house church for most of his life, but that they had been a part of seeing over 100 some odd Simple Churches started. They'd lost track of it in all these different countries and things. How did that happen? Well, at some level, it happened by people being in two churches at the same time. They may have moved to another state. They stayed a part of that fellowship from a distance for a season until the Lord using them to start another one, or someone in their house church helped a friend start another one. This is also the same thing that Felicity Dale talked about when she came, and we've shared this story before, where she talked about how rather than inviting this new believing couple to their church, they said, why don't we come over to your group and help see if you and your friends can start a church?
Right.
And they ended up doing that, and that group ended up starting five more other house churches, and they then returned back to me. They never really left their primary. In fact, I think their house church, she said, still met in her living room, and her daughter kind of facilitated it some of the weeks they weren't able to be there.
Mm-hmm.
They were a part of two churches at the same time, and that second church, you know, it wasn't a permanent thing. It wasn't in their mind more of a permanent. This was something they were going to help for a season to model simple church and discipleship in the Christian life for those new believers and those folks, to assist them in starting their own house church. And then eventually they would be able to just do more of the watching and then ultimately leave to where they didn't, you know, necessarily need to be a part of that group, you know, at all.
Well, Gavin, let me ask you, besides this podcast that you referenced earlier with Lee Wood, is there anything that our listeners can go to read or listen to that that will describe more of this being in two churches at one time?
Yeah, it's a, like I said, it's a part of the Zume training, and that's something, like I said, we've had some folks do. If you're not able to you can access that at zumeproject.com. It is kind of weird. You do have to be in a group to go through that training, but you have to sign up all of the leaders' email. You have to have four people email in there because they don't want people just watching the videos, which I hope they might. They might change that down the road. Another option, and we can link this up in our podcast at keepitsimplepodcast.com. There's a video that Curtis Sargent kind of gives a nice little picture illustration of all this that's a YouTube video that we can show. So we'll link that up and keepitsimplepodcast.com. But again, I think it's just a simple concept, and we hammered that out a lot and talked about it and wrestled with it, but you know, it was my main takeaway. And again, it's nothing necessarily new that we haven't discussed. It's just a different way of thinking, and I think is helpful. And, you know, I would encourage you, go to the website, keepitsimplepodcast.com, and pull up this video and maybe share that with the folks you're going to gather with this Sunday and see what folks think. And again, I think it's the only option, and it's a very important concept for us to kind of think through, because not to combat. It's more two churches at the same time idea is more of a way of combating, I think, unhelpful baggage that we've picked up from consumer Christianity. And
exactly.
And no matter where you're at in this process, if you've been a part of a house church for a long time or you're just starting, I mean, you've got a default mode that I think is just not helpful for the multiplication of disciples in churches and two churches at the same time. If you can grasp it and see it, and everyone can kind of picture them being a part of two churches at the same time, they know what that means. They know what that could look like. And it's something that, you know, eventually every week you could sit down with your simple church even, and people could talk about their other church that they're a part of, you know. And what a wonderful picture. I mean, that would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Maybe you use different terms, you know, that's not important. But mm-hmm. for me, that's a helpful concept. So
yeah, that's good. You're looking inward and you're looking outward. Well, that's good to catch up on the conference. And that's probably going to wrap up this podcast, it looks like, time-wise. So we're gonna be back with more.
Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, check us out on iTunes, leave a review, and as always, give us a call if there's something we can chat with you about or answer a question or share a story about something God's doing in your house church, and we'd love to pass that along to folks. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
All right.
Hey, folks. Want to let you guys know we got a new music release. That's right. You probably didn't know we release music, and we really don't, but we have for Christmas. It's called A Simple Church Christmas Volume 2. You're saying, I didn't know there was a Volume 1, but there is. You can actually download both of these albums today for free at noisetrade.com. Go to noisetrade.com and search A Simple Church Christmas, and there you will find it. And these are songs that we have recorded at our Christmas celebration gatherings for house churches in the region the last several years, and I think you'll really enjoy it. They're very amateur But there's something very simple and pure about it. I know it's been one of my favorite listens every year. And now this new release, I know it will be that for many folks as well. So check it out, A Simple Church Christmas, Volume 1 and 2, noisetrade.com. They'll ask you to put in your email there. They'll ask you for a tip, but ignore that. It's a gift from us to you. And I hope that it will provide you some good enjoyment over the Christmas season. God bless you guys. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.